So I know it's been a while since I've spoken to all of you, and that's because life keeps getting crazier. So right now, I am again at a crossroads in my life. And throughout my 38 years, yes, I'm 30 now, throughout my 38 years of life, and specifically the last 15 years, people constantly call me to get guidance and advice on which direction to go in. And that is because I am a ordained minister, I am a spiritual counselor, I am a psychic and a medium and a healer. And I've noticed that life requires moments of quietude before pivots. And sometimes we rush the pivot. We want to know exactly what to do, when to do it, just because we don't like that feeling of uncertainty. But I love that feeling. I've come to love, cherish, bless, and celebrate the feeling, thought, and belief that surrounds the idea of uncertainty. Do I always handle it with the greatest of ease and with pristine precision? Nigh. But I'm not really believing that I should. I want to go through life in the way that I go through life, not in the robotic way some people think they should do it. Whenever there's a should, to me, that mirrors the idea of a right way, and to me the right way is a robotic way, just a standardized way everybody does it. I also think of the archetype of the newscaster who just is always blah, 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 doing things exactly the way that it's been done, presenting it to people in a way that they're used to, they're familiar, and so they receive it. If they trip up on their words, if they change their face from being stone cold to twitching, they're normally seen as, something's wrong with them, get rid of them. And they lose their career. A lot of them have. And I have zero investment in living my life socially and solo-y, whatever the right word is for that, like a newscaster. Or like a robot. I've told people throughout the years, stop trying to be perfect and celebrate the way that you do life. Nobody else does it like you. No one goes over the same potholes in the same way, at the same time, at the same speed, the way that you do. And yes, no one judges going over the pothole at the speed and pace and the way that you did like you. There's no other presence in existence exactly like you. So love that. But that also means loving the part of you that judges that you're not perfect. But I just think of myself as a reminder through modeling it that every single choice, action, inaction that you make is divinely you, and so it is perfect because it is finding the right word. My brain keeps wanting to say convergence. But basically, you are part of that symphony. And the universe would not make the same sound without your hiccups, without your so-called mistakes, without your mishaps, without your fear, without your stress. And so everything that you judge as wrong is actually beautiful. And it creates this awesome symphony of expression. And so as I wait to make a final decision in my life, I'm reminded of making space to give myself pause, to not rush a decision, to not force a conclusion, to not require myself to fulfill a promise that has since expired. I get to choose who I am, what I do, where I go. And where I am currently, I'm realizing the time is up. And originally when I was planning to come here, I thought it was meant to be a long-term destination. I don't think it is anymore. And I'm okay with that. I've walked the grounds every day for months. My presence, my energy has imbued this land, and I will always be a part of it, and it will always be a part of me, and I can always return. But when I think about being here for the rest of the year, into next year, and then another summer here, I'm not me. One of my favorite characters, female characters, is Arya. There is not a single female character on the planet that I felt truly embodied me. And so Arya from Game of Thrones, I think it was the final season, started talking about, that's not me, that's not you. And it's not a judgment, it's not wrong, it's just a realization of, that's not where I go, that's not what I do, that's not me. So I don't stay in places that don't feel right. They don't treat me the way that I deserve to be treated. I always leave. And unfortunately, that's happened again. But it's not really unfortunate, because I see the blessings, the richness, and the enrichment to my future from being here in the present. Humans are humans everywhere. And I can definitely handle anything if I'm fully committed to it. The only time it weighs on me is when I'm in conflict of doing it or not. So when I'm not fully committed, generally that's where the disdain, the stress, the attitude comes from. And I've definitely had an attitude this year because of the immense fuckery. I don't know a better word. I just don't understand the appalling behavior I have witnessed in this community. Immaturity at its greatest. And just not really upholding the spiritualism principles that we all are supposed to have. And I realized why as I was talking to one of the long-term ministers here. And it wasn't just ego. He said there's not enough people with an actual relationship with their divinity. He said that we have gotten stuck in making the immaterial material. And so, of course, we are stuck because it can never be material. And he is about to be contracted to be the minister in one of my churches. And I think there's no one better. He's profoundly insightful. And that is the reason I came here. I wanted to walk out the door and have these profound conversations with people. People who have had near-death experiences. People who have been the nurse that kept people alive. And while that person was having their near-death experience, they witnessed that person pumping their heart. I want to know about physical mediumship, people who have experienced it. I want to hear stories about abhors. I hunger for conversations centered around the only thing that is, which is the divine. So even this thing called ego is divine. Even the fuckery I complained about earlier, it is divine. However, that discomfort, that awareness that there is a discrepancy, there is something out of alignment with true divinity, is very prevalent here, and it irks me because it's not me. Not only is it not me, it's not who I want to become, and it's who I'll never be. And so to bear witness to it is not only alarming, it made me dig my heels in to fix it. And no, I didn't get sick. I didn't truly get tired. But I became, for lack of a better word, a funky pume, that's the word, like a pume of smoke. Like that. Not negativity, but just dissatisfied and in constant judgment of this is not it. We are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I had that funk around me and it stained my interactions with new people that I could have otherwise connected with. And it's because I was so focused on the task. This has to be done the right way. Instead of this is a divine soul in my presence who I will never witness again. Please bear witness to their greatness, to their sorrow, to their unrealized potential. Bear witness. And I have lost that opportunity with some people. But I have mastered it with others. And so I have attained what I came here to do. Like I said, there are two specific men who I have had the most profound talks with. And they have asked me to not talk about them publicly. So I will keep their names off of this podcast. But I have never had such enriching conversations, thought exchanges that have truly nourished my soul the way I have with them. They are the reason I'm here. And then two other women who I haven't connected with as much as I want to, actually three. I've had conversations with so many people, and it's yummy. I it up every time it happens. And then the drama of fuckery has been a unwelcome distraction. But as I was meditating and working through this for the last year and a half, I realized that what I was considering incompetence was actually perfection. Or rather, protection is what I meant to say. But perhaps my soul wanted to say both perfect protection. Basically, this community is not meant to evolve, grow, and mature at the pace and in the way that I deem is best. Nor do I really want it to be. I just would like it to be a little bit better. But I also saw that it was releasing me. The incompetence and refusal to really become the ideal that all of us truly hold was because it's not time yet for me to have roots here. It's time for me to tarry on. I am a transient soul, always have been, always will be. But last year, I had made the commitment to myself to put down roots. I was going to buy a house, and I was going to travel. And then this year, I was called into chaplaincy. And so as a military chaplain, I will still be traveling a lot, which I'm happy to do. I just still wanted a home base. Today, I went to look at two different houses and researched two other ones that were recommended. The ones I went to physically were a disappointment, but what was happening was I was trying to talk myself into, oh yeah, this house will work. And I know myself well enough to know that if I have to talk myself into it, I don't truly want it. The attic was gorgeous. I love the attic. It wasn't big enough. It did not have a bathroom. The main floor, I did not like how the bedrooms were set up. It was also too small. There was a lot of stuff that needed to be repaired. The yard was not as big as I wanted it to be. The fence was dilapidated. Right next to it was a dilapidated building. And it was a cheap price, but I didn't love the house. So I was like, why would I buy a house I don't love? And that's the question that I always settle on. And if the answer is, yeah, I wouldn't, then I let it go. So the first house that I was going to buy when I moved to New York, I really liked the structure and the bones of it, but I didn't love it. And then there was another house I went to see. I didn't like the history of it. I didn't like how small it was. There was no basement. And so I was like, I don't want to be there. And I felt a strong, clear message not to buy that house. And then again, this year I got pulled back into, well, maybe it is. So I second-guessed myself, which is normal, and actually, I believe, healthy, because it creates further dialogue with yourself. And self-doubt doesn't have to always be the catalyst for that self-dialogue, but the conversation is always different, I find. I sometimes get new nuggets of truth when I'm going deeper with self-doubt. But also, of course, conversations, dynamic dialogue around how much I love myself, the joy of life, the mysteries of life, all of those reveal things. But anyway, my main point, because I keep going on tangents on different concepts, which I'm happy to, because it's been a while since I've uploaded on this podcast, but self-doubt. It was unneeded. I knew I didn't really want that house. And so the other house that I saw, it had some of the things I wanted, but I don't really want that house. Now, perhaps tomorrow I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh yeah, I really want that house. But currently I don't. So, and then the other house that it was recommended, it wasn't really a house. And it was too far away. So I refuse to buy a house just to buy a house. I have to love the house. Oops. And it has to be divinely confirmed that it's the right house. So the plan is, so my job, my seasonal job that I've done for the last 2 years ends this coming Labor Day. And then I have to help with like cleaning and then shutting it down. And then I normally go back to just working online and writing my screenplays. But this is going to be different because I'm going to finish my master's degree. I'm going to get a master's in divinity. I had no plan to ever get a master's degree, to be honest. But it's time. And I feel good about it. I have 3 universities I'm choosing between. And I don't feel like I can go wrong with either one of them. So that's new and that's exciting because I do love learning, but also I've been consistently a minister and spiritual. There's nothing else I'm going to do. This just increases my capacity to do it. And I still will be writing. And I still will be working online. There's 2 new companies I'm planning to apply to. One I really, really want. The other one I'm like, meh. And they're both online. Because one is for a company I worked for like 4 months. 5 months this year. It was one of my favorite jobs ever because it was exactly what I told the universe I wanted to be doing. So I'm going to send my resume and apply for those tomorrow. I am almost done my bachelor's degree, which I meant to say earlier. My bachelor's degree will be finished by August 25th. And right now it's August 17th. So I don't have a lot of time left to complete all of my... Well, I don't really need more time. I essentially have 1 more paper to finish. And it's supposed to be 8 pages. It is 7 pages right now. So I'm definitely going to be able to finish that really soon. And then the current college I'm going to, they allow you to submit a draft and get feedback from the instructor. And then they will let you know if it's good enough or not. I was signed up for some free tutoring. Well, it wasn't free. Basically, I had signed up for this subscription, and I got 500 free, well, I don't want to say free, 500 additional tutoring minutes for, what's 79 times 79? Oh, God. That would be 158. So, basically for 158 for 3 months, I had tutoring at my disposal. But it just ended the subscription. So, normally I would have gotten feedback from a tutor and then feedback from the instructor and then submit my final draft. But I can't. I can only submit it to the instructor by the end of tomorrow. If I do it longer outside of that, then I won't get feedback. The 18th is the last day I can do that. So that's why I'm rushing, and today was my day off. I haven't had many days off, but God, essentially, there's only 2 more weeks left for my other job, 2 weeks and 3 days, and then I am free. And I do not want to do that type of work next year, unless I am in a power position, which I could potentially get. So anyway, I'm going on a tangent again. What was my main point? My main point is that I'm almost done my bachelor's degree. I'm going to start work on my master's degree this September. Just realizing that's right around the corner. I probably will start mainly in October. and I'm going to do my best to get my master's degree done in 2 years rather than three, and then become a military chaplain by the time I'm 40. I can only be a military chaplain candidate between now and finishing my master's degree. So I'm excited. But I am looking at my current community and just realizing how much it needs to be healed, and I'll pray for it from a distance. And if the universe really wants me here, I will do my best to fix it and deal with it, because I'm a soldier. If you give me a task, a duty, something to complete, I will do it until it's done. Questions will be asked, but I will still do it until it's done. So if I really am meant to be in this community until we heal the problems, then I will do that. But based on my search today, there's no house around here that I'm meant to buy this year. And I'm fine with that. I'm at peace with that. And I meant to say also that I'm going to New Zealand in October or at the start of November. I just really feel like I don't want to be here during the winter, and I'm really unhappy when I'm around snow all the time. So I might go back to Canada for a couple of months, but the plan right now is November, December, January to be in New Zealand, and then February probably go back to Canada, and then March I might be working. I know this sounds ridiculous with all the problems. I might be working at that same position again if they can get it together and if I'm not doing anything else. I do still want my writing, my screenplay career to take off, but the writer's strike makes it almost impossible to do right now. So I'm surrendering to the flow of divine order and divine timing, the gestational period of creation. What happens when you rush a baby being born? There's problems. What happens when you rush a cake being baked? It's never done right. So why would I rush what will be one of the most important things to me in my life? Yes, spirituality is a constant. However, writing and my creativity has so much trauma surrounding it that when it is accomplished, it will truly feel like a triumph. My constant is prayer, meditation. No one can take that away. No one can change that. But I've had so many people intentionally try to sabotage my writing and succeeding at screenplays that I think that's why the gestational period is what I consider longer. And that also means that the end result will be better. So, may God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for listening to my rambling tonight. Ashe.